Hello everyone, welcome back to just another F1 podcast here on the Apex Motorsport. My name is Richard Smith and this is Season 4, Episode 18, and we've just had the Japanese Grand Prix. And joining me in today's episode is, of course, Ryan Caldwell. Ryan, it was an early start for UK viewers. Just give me your thoughts on the Japanese Grand Prix.
Well, as you said, it was an early start. I set my alarms all prepped and ready, you know, woke up, boom! What happened? 6 o'clock? Okay, ready to go. Just give me 5 more minutes because, you know, there's always the warm-up lap. I fell back asleep. I thought, okay, it's only been 5 minutes. Wake up again, body. I looked at the time. You had sent me a message at like 7:30. Did you watch the race? And I was looking at this at like 8:20. So I was like, oh, well, I've missed it. But then I did watch the highlights. And all I can say is it was a McLaren masterclass. But no, the rest of the race was pretty good. We had a few... did not finish as DNFs, dimps. We had quite a few dimps actually, not to be expected, but Sergio Perez, what happened there? It was unexpected, but no, race was pretty good.
Perez setting the record for the longest ever pit stop, apart from the Bottas one a few years ago when they couldn't get the tire off. Definitely was the entertainment of the day. The other guest joining me and Ryan is, as always, Tom Toseland. Tom, were you one of these people who set their alarms and woke up hearing the Dutch national anthem being played?
No, I watched it at like 10 p.m. because that's when I woke up. And well, I would have got up for it, but I'll be honest with you, I've just started doing some commentary on the sides, and it was my first day doing it, so I didn't want to be all tired and grouchy for that, so I decided to get up later and watch it, and I'm kind of glad I did, as I think it's probably been it's probably the most boring race we've had after the summer break, which is a shame for such a high aero fun circuit. But yeah, I didn't get up for it, and I'm kind of glad I didn't.
I'm loving the commitment to watching F1 from you two. It's absolutely great. At least both of you enjoy doing podcasts, unlike Max Verstappen, of course, hosted the latest episode of the Max Verstappen podcast with Lando Norris back as a guest and a new guest in Oscar Piastri. And Ryan, you know all about Oscar Piastri. Little cheeky plug at the video you created looking at his rise through the ranks of motorsport to make it all the way to F1 and the F1 ladder. Ryan, any weird and wonderful facts you found out about Piastri in that?
You really put me on the spot there. Just the fact that he raced for Arden, because obviously we never really went back in his history, and then I then re-remembered that Arden was founded by none other than Mr. Red Bull himself, Christian Horner. So that I forgot about that, but that was interesting. Yeah. Even to see that he raced with them, and then he's actually more successful than I thought. You know, I didn't expect him to be as how would you put it, not to have won as many things as he did, or even, you know, be as good as he did. Like, obviously you have to have some sort of good winning spirit and talent about you to get into Formula One, but yeah, I was actually quite surprised at how easily he won, you know, Formula, well, not easily, but I mean, like, how he just went straight bang, Formula 3, completed it, mate, Formula 2, completed it, mate, you know. It was good. It was an interesting wee deep dive into him.
Yeah, and I think definitely for sure one thing that a lot of people are probably wondering is if he went straight into F1, how he would have got on last season. Because obviously he had that year on the sidelines with Alpine, and then the whole contract debacle, and then moving to McLaren. And, you know, start of the season, he was just sort of your average rookie. He was doing okay. McLaren weren't great. And then Silverstone comes up, and all of a sudden McLaren are the second best team in the grid. So definitely he is impressed recently. I'm glad for him he got the podium, and perfect timing with the video as well. So yeah, great timing all around, and thank you, Oscar, for getting that podium for us. It's helping the video very well. But let's talk about Max Verstappen once again. We couldn't talk about him one last time, which was quite weird. I felt completely lost not talking about a Max Verstappen victory. But of course, the Dutch national anthem was played again this weekend. And what was a fairly convincing victory, I think. I seen some people say that he wanted to go out and basically prove the doctors wrong. He'd nothing to prove because we all know Max Verstappen is the best driver on the grid at the moment. He's gonna easily win the championship. He couldn't win it here. He could have actually won it last race in Singapore. But because he didn't take the win, he couldn't win it then this weekend in Japan, the weird wonderful way the point system works. But yeah, Tom, I'll come to you first on this one. Max Verstappen obviously saying he wanted to go and prove the doubters wrong. Did he really have to? And do you think that Singapore, you know, Red Bull had said that if there's going to be one track on the calendar that they're not going to be the best team in the grid at, it's Singapore. They said that. Everyone sort of had a feeling this was coming. Do you think that, you know, Verstappen went out and he had the mindset of, you know what, I'm just going to win by as much as I can this weekend?
I think that's how Max approaches every weekend, to be fair. He's really a driver that just wants to win. That's all he wants. And I feel like maybe he's kind of hinted it gets a bit boring now. So I don't know, maybe he might have had that mindset because maybe he needs to find something that keeps him maybe interested in the races. I'm sure he still very much is, but I know he said in the past that he's now starting to get bored of the constant winning. So maybe just that those doubters kind of stoke his fire, if you know what I'm saying. So yeah, I feel like, but he's just incredibly quick anyway. He's really him and Hamilton are this generation's most talented drivers, and you can really see that from where they place the car and just where they know where the grip is. So I don't feel like he has really anything to prove, because he's already shown off probably why he's probably one of the best drivers in the last 10 years.
Yeah, he definitely is one of the best drivers currently. One person who thinks that Max Verstappen is the best, Bernie Eccleston, he's back in the press. We all know his connections to Formula One. Ryan, just want to get your thoughts on this. It's on the Express in their live blog that they're running today, which is full of nonsense. Bernie Eccleston has insisted that Max Verstappen, not Lewis Hamilton, is the greatest driver ever to race in F1. Speaking to the Daily Mail, he said, "Max is the best driver ever, no doubts. I used to say Alan Prost, now I say Max. He's the greatest. He's the brightest with regards to getting the best out of the car. He doesn't muck around. He gets right on the program. In my list, he's above Lewis Hamilton." So not only did he used to say Alan Prost, he's also thrown Hamilton there. So Alan Prost was actually third in that list. It makes no sense at all. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, for a 92-year-old motorsport destructor, shall we say, to stay relevant, he needs to come out with some mad things. You know, having a kid at 90, that fairly brought him back, and then making all these ridiculous comments and having a few racist remarks against himself. You know, he likes to keep himself in the press, so I think that's more than what it really is, more so than actually putting any genuine insight into the sport or giving an authentic piece of journalistic expertise, shall we say. It's just Bernie Eccleston, you know. He wants to be the top man of Formula One again. That's all he wants to be. Just, he likes to make his points and have a go at, you know, Jordan and Jaguar and all the other field teams. And Bernie's Bernie, not the Bernie Collins though. She is elite. She's different gravy. Yes. She's the Bernie we want in Formula One.
Northern Ireland's finest.
Northern Ireland. It's so weird hearing her voice on Sky F1. You're so used to hearing Ted Kravitz and, you know, all the, even Craig Slater with his big Scottish accent. You know, you're used to hearing the nice mainland UK familiarity of the language barrier, and then you just hear Northern Ireland and, you know, that's class there, and you're like, oh my, I can't listen to it. But no, she's probably one of the best things that's happened to Sky F1 in a minute, let's be honest. Oh, but we're talking about Bernie Eccleston and his comments. He's not wrong about one thing, but he's 70% correct, I'll give him that. Max is, on paper so far, if he was to continue this success rate, would technically and statistically be the best driver of all time, because the current form he's on, if Red Bull were able to provide a machine like Mercedes that is dominant for 7 years, he will statistically probably win. I'd say at least there's an 82% chance of him winning every championship from here on out if they were able to provide him a car that is essentially built around him anyway. So I'd say he's not wrong in that regard. He is probably one of the better drivers. Even look at Sergio. He has the same machine. Obviously, it's set up ever so slightly, but he just cannot extract the same lap times that Max is doing. Max is on a different level. Like, we've seen that with Schumacher, even at Ferrari. He was able to fling that car around in many different ways. Had a really unorthodox driving style, same as Fernando Alonso with the Renault, when he was in the Renault team. He used to just flick the steering wheel and deliberately put the car into oversteer to then control it round the corner, because he liked a car that had more oversteer. So when he went to McLaren and had a really GP2 engine that was very understeery, he just wasn't good. That's why he left. And I have completely went off the sidetrack here, but Bernie Eccleston is a bad man. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, I'm just reading some of the other sort of comments he's made in recent times, and other things are on his website, and basically saying that apparently Vettel is convinced he beat Verstappen as well, and let me see where else they've got. Apparently Sergio Perez is ready to retire. Tom, thoughts on that? Former F1 driver Jan Lammers believes that Sergio Perez is ready to step away from the sport following his awful performance at Suzuka last weekend. And the comment is, when you see that Perez is doing with that beautiful car, it's almost criminal, he told a Dutch outlet, NOS. I think Perez is ready for retirement. I mean, how much fun is it for him? What we're seeing is a lack of total drive, motivation, sharpness, everything really. I think Red Bull could be preparing to put Lawson in that seat, which is going so well that they decided not to put Lawson in, even in AlphaTauri. Your thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, Bernie Collins, who's worked with Sergio Perez, said he is probably one of the most resilient drivers she's ever worked with. He can kind of bounce back from anything and just get on with it. So I'd find it really surprising if one result in Japan, he's had a couple of bad results, and Japan was really not great, and some of the overtakes he's been doing recently have been awful. But anyway, Bernie's been saying he's been one of the most resilient drivers she's ever worked with. So I'd find it hard to believe that after one very, very bad race that he would consider retiring, because I feel like he's a driver that just tries to bounce back, and just always wants to achieve the best for his team. And with the mindset of retirement, I don't think he can really achieve the best for his team, because then what is he fighting for?
Another thing they're trying to scare everyone with is a headline saying that Perez is close to a race ban, but Red Bull won't be worried. Sergio Perez picked up 4 penalty points during the Japanese Grand Prix to move within 5 of a race ban. Of course, you need 12 to get a race ban, so to move within 5 is still a considerable amount away. However, Red Bull won't be panicking, as 2 of his 7 points expire on October the 2nd, 6 days before the next event in Qatar. Yeah, that's a load of nonsense. That's not to worry at all. And Anthony Davidson has apparently told Lando Norris to ditch McLaren for Red Bull so he can give Max Verstappen a proper fight. Apparently, he said on Sky, Lando Norris, what can you say about him? I'd love to see him in the old car, Red Bull, giving this man Verstappen a proper fight, because I think he would. A great race by Lando today. He had such speed, but nobody could touch Max Verstappen. He had the car to do it and utilized it well. So some interesting things being reported in the in the press recently, especially on this live blog, that just seems to be taking a lot of things with a pinch of salt. And apparently Daniel Ricciardo has serious health issues, which isn't true because he's going to be back fairly soon. Okay, let's move on now. Let's talk about actually Verstappen's teammate Sergio Perez, and we'll touch on that penalty. Ryan, was that smart from Red Bull to basically keep him in the car and then send him back out to not serve a penalty, or do you think it's just a massive grey area in the rules and, like many things, they'll look at changing those again?
Well, if there's anything we know about Red Bull, and it's understanding the technical directives and the FIA rules. They practically probably have a whole suite of people at the factory that know the in and out of that whole manual book, guidelines, whatever you want to call it. So if they can find a way to get away from any, penalties or on-track things, time penalties and whatnot, they will do absolutely anything. But taking out the car from the race, I don't know. Was that probably the best thing? It's a Red Bull thing, isn't it, really, though, if I'm honest with you? Like, I don't know really what else to say. It just is. Yeah. It's a Red Bull thing. It's what they do. They've always done it. And I would say, I would then go off track and then start talking about Crashgate and Ferrari, but we'll not get too deep into rules and regulations. Tricking fuel sensors in 2019, which is why Charles Leclerc and Sebastian Vettel were fast for the first half of the season, then we're slow as
We might as well just mention Abu Dhabi 2021 to keep the streak going. Single podcast. Tom, this weekend, of course, Red Bull claimed the Constructors' Championship. It feels sort of very sort of underwhelming. It feels like no one's really taking them on because of how easy it was, and they've won it. Well done, moving on. It feels a bit like that. Tom, just your thoughts. Was it, is it a deserving crown for Red Bull and for Max not being able to seal the Drivers' Championship the first time asking last week? Just, do you think that would be a disappointment for him?
I feel, starting with the constructors question first, I feel like with the constructors, it's like Max's World Championship last year. Everyone expected it, so it wasn't like this big thing that's just come out of nowhere and we're all like, wow, he really earned that. Because he has earned it. He has put in some amazing drives, but he hasn't had any competition. So I think we've all accepted that Max would be a three-time world champion this year, and why am I talking about that? He's not champion yet, but we all accepted that we accepted that Red Bull and Max are going to be champions. Max will be champion at some point, and we all knew Red Bull would be constructors champions early on in the season, considering their dominance and everyone below them having such not a weak package, but kind of a mixed package at different circuits. Some weekends McLaren are quicker, some weekends Ferrari were quicker, early in the season Aston Martin were quicker, and then somewhere other places Mercedes were quicker. So I feel like it's just something we all expected at this point, so there's no real well done, yes, you've done it, but it's not that surprised they've done it. Plus, they don't need to celebrate yet, as they've claimed one title. They still have one more they have to make sure they claim. So, yeah.
Ryan, we know that how Verstappen can win the title in Qatar, and he can actually do it on the Saturday in the sprint race. All he has to do is finish inside the top six. Feeling that, regardless of where Verstappen finishes, Perez needs to finish. If Verstappen doesn't finish inside the top six, Perez needs to finish at least second to take the race in the title battle on the Sunday, and then basically Perez needs to win and hope that Verstappen doesn't get any points. Do you think it's a dead cert come Saturday going into the Grand Prix, Verstappen will be a three-time world champion?
I wouldn't like to think so, and the reason I say that is, would you really want to have your big moment on the Saturday when the main crowd's going to be there for the Sunday? Would you not rather, deliberately finish P8, P7 just so that on the Sunday you can go out, smash it, have a few overtakes on track, make it all look like this big spectacle? Oh, will Max Verstappen win? Da 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 da. And then you go out and absolutely smash through the field and And then, you know, the fireworks at the end and do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Max Verstappen, you are the world champion. I'd much rather have that than on the Saturday. And the winner of the sprint race and the new world champion, Max Verstappen. And what? Yeah, nobody's really watching, pal.
For Verstappen, if he wins it on the Saturday, it will be quite funny because obviously Abu Dhabi, he won it in those circumstances. Then last year he was told by, wasn't it Johnny Herbert, that he was world champion, and everyone was in complete and utter confusion because of the half points.
Yeah.
And then this year he wins it on a Saturday. Verstappen still won't have won a title, like, you know, he won't have that properly. Moment of, yeah, where he's known, you know, 50, 60 laps around the track that all he needs to do is finish first and he's champion. You know, he's doing a sprint race with probably Oscar Piastri alongside him in the grid. And even if he does do what you suggest, potentially throwing away, you know, the chances, he needs Perez to finish second, which is something that Perez hasn't been able to do much this year. So obviously, stars, I think, man. Yeah, I think it, for me, Verstappen should win. Would I like him to win it on the Saturday? No, because in a way, it's sort of just, you know, I think once the title's sewn up in any sport, really, the races and events afterwards, they don't really feel the same. You know, you watch, like, in the Premier League, once, you know, Man City have sealed the title, it's sort of, yeah, it's sort of like, oh, well, this, you know, whoever they play, it doesn't really matter. But then whenever the years that they were, you know, neck and neck with Liverpool until the final weekend, the final day of the season, people were still watching because there was that what if factor where in this there's not. But I feel like a Verstappen win on the Saturday would just sort of highlight how good of a season he has had.
But all I can say is at least he knows for sure that he is going to be world champion, unlike our good friend in 2008, Felipe Massa.
There's still hope yet for Massa.
Still hope yet.
F and doubt tech at the court. Yeah. You never know what could happen. Yeah, if you got enough money, you can get anything in court. Right, let's talk about McLaren. And we've already touched on them, the upturn of form they've had, especially with Piastri. But Tom, Piastri is improving every race. He's still not quite at the level of Norris, especially in the races, but do you think that this is a good way for McLaren to go, having one driver who, as much as he, it feels like he hasn't been in the sport that long, Norris has been in F1 for a while, he's one of the more experienced drivers on the grid now, and, you know, him being the team leader, having Piastri, who's still a rookie this season, but a good enough rookie to warrant his place on the grid, they've got locked in for a couple more seasons, and having this rookie, a very clear number one, number two driver method for McLaren to continue their growth. And do you think this is the right way for them to maybe next season challenge Red Bull for that Constructors' Championship?
Honestly, I think Oscar Piastri is one of the most exciting rookie talents in Formula One since Lewis Hamilton in 2007, because he's just come in and he's just on the pace. Immediately, he's had a year out, and most drivers we see come in and we kind of have that excuse where it's like they've had a year out, they're gonna need time to catch up again. But Piastri, he's just been on the pace, and he's incredible. He's incredible. Some of his stuff, like going P2 this weekend in qualifying, I know he's been on the podium before. Was he on the podium for the sprint race in Spa? I think he was, because I think he started third, because did he start fourth? I know he was running well in it anyway. So it's just, he's come into his own. He's not really been like, bless them, Albon and Gasly maybe in their rookie seasons. I know they got put, well, not rookie seasons, but let me put it this way. He's been put in a fast car and against a very fast driver, and he's absolutely thriving. And when you compare that to Gasly and Albon, they kind of, even though they had a bit more time in Formula 1, they seemed to drown against Verstappen. And the only driver that in their rookie season that has who's come up against a fast, experienced driver and has really put up as much as a fight against them is Lewis Hamilton in 2007 against Fernando Alonso. So I think Piastri could be one of these drivers that is an absolute, I've already said it today, but generational talent once he has the machinery to fight for the world title. And I feel like that's going to be really exciting to see maybe once the cars close up on the grid.
I disagree with that point, that he's one of the best rookie drivers up against a fast driver. Russell dominated in Williams in 2019 against Robert Kubica. I say no more.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, yeah, sorry. I didn't consider that. That's my bad.
Yes.
What's
sorry.
Going on here?
I know.
Yeah.
But speaking of Robert Kubica, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, all up for the Jota drive in the World Endurance Championship. So that's going to be extremely interesting, and it's going to be really, really fascinating to see how the popularity of the World Endurance Championship changes in the coming years with these amazingly popular and talented drivers joining the sport. It's especially with the race last year, with all these manufacturers coming in, we kind of got some interest back in the World Endurance Championship, and they put on an absolutely amazing race at the Le Mans 24 Hours. So now with potentially a second Jota car, two more manufacturers in Lamborghini and Alpine coming in, and these three kind of mega drivers in one car, I can't wait to see where the World Endurance Champion sits at next year. Will it be as popular as maybe IndyCar and some other series? And how will it compare to Formula One? And will this be the kind of boom of endurance racing in the 20th century? Oh no, 21st. Flip. Wrong one. Sorry. That shows my history. I did geography.
Yeah, and your point about Piastri, about where he finished. He finished second in the sprint, but this is his first podium because he didn't really get a podium for the sprint. It's a weird format to get a... Well, they get a medal now. I suppose they get like a floor wreath or something like that. But Brian, I come to you on this point. AlphaTauri have decided to go with Ricciardo and Tsunoda for 2024.
Yeah.
According to that Express article, Liam Lawson has said that he's not going to go to Williams alone and basically become a reserve driver. And I seen a report somewhere earlier, I don't remember where from or how accurate it is, but saying that it's a contractual obligation that he gets a seat at one of the two Red Bull teams for 2025. Do you think that AlphaTauri are making the right move here, or do you think they needed to get Lawson in that seat sooner rather than later?
You see, with the Red Bull family, it is a very tricky one because, as we know, their driver development program is a shambles and a scam, to say the least. You're never guaranteed a seat in Formula One. But Lawson has made a very good, bold statement of himself by driving like an absolute animal in that car for only having it for three races. Well, I suppose four, near enough. He's proved that he is well enough capable even to even replace Yuki Tsunoda, which makes you think Honda still has a big involvement, I'd say, with their team until they officially go to Ford powertrains. So I'd say there's still something linked to that. With the likes of Ricciardo, I think it's really just more about the teams looking to rebrand. So to try and push that rebrand even more, they need a driver who everyone loves, everyone's going to know instantly, it's Daniel Ricciardo. Whereas if you put Lawson in the car, he's a good driver, but he doesn't have that media following presence. As with the rest of the Red Bull family holding out until, you know, the likes of maybe someone like Checo departs, so then Ricciardo moves back home, and then Lawson takes that seat. It's a long gamble, and who's to say that, you know, the next best thing since sliced gravy doesn't come through and Red Bull snaps it up and throws it in the seat instead? Because we've seen it happen before. You think you're doing a good job in the young team, you get booted off because they want to demote one of their bigger drivers to bring in someone else from AlphaTauri, which we've seen with Pierre Gasly going back to AlphaTauri, and then Albon went up, and then Albon got sacked. So then, yeah, you know what happened. You know, everyone knows what happened. Holding out for Lawson, I can see why what he wants to do, because he thinks there's something there for him, and he has proved that there should be something for him. It's just whether contractually everyone else sits happy, but then one of them eventually has to go so that he can jump in. Do we wait until 1 year? Do you wait for 2 years? Do you lose your skill, your craft, your you know, your hypersensitivity, how would you put it, for reaction times and stuff like that. If it was me personally, I would just be taking any team that wants me, because you want to get into Formula One, you want to make a point, you want to prove that you're belonging in that sport. And then if you do well at somewhere else for a year, just go back, sign a 1-year contract with no strings attached, and then you're free to move wherever you want. Then you could take a year out, but then at least then you know that next year you're guaranteed somewhere. Whereas if you're out for 2 years, you're going to lose a great deal of, you know, race craft and instinct of how to race. It's the same as anything. If like here's a really bad example, but take me in Premier Pro. I was getting on very well to Premier Pro whenever we finally got onto the software, and then I hadn't used it in 2 years at least, or I used a year and a half, and I went back to it and I sent you a message. I was like, how do you cut things up into different sections again? Oh, it was a shambles. But that's what I'm saying. You forget how to do these things. For Lawson, I suppose, each to their own. Make up your own mind. But realistically, Red Bull controls you, pal. You need to make your own decisions.
Yeah, there's obviously a few different scenarios. There's, you know, Yuki Tsunoda going to... this is for 2025, so maybe... You know, Yuki Tsunoda steps away because the AlphaTauri or Red Bull don't want him involved with Aston Martin in the final year. You know, before he moves, we all expect him to make that move for 2026. So Lawson gets a seat there. Maybe Verstappen, you know, wants to walk away because he's got that board. Then it's between Lawson and Ricciardo, or maybe, you know, Ricciardo takes Perez a seat. There is a seat available for him, I think, but I don't know which driver will be replaced yet. So that's something we have to keep an eye on. But let's move on to predictions now. And after a few weeks of complete and utter disasters, we've actually had a pretty decent weekend, I think, anyway. Pole position, me and Ryan both got 1 point by saying Verstappen. Team Apex didn't get any for saying Sainz. And me and Ryan also got a point for saying Verstappen would win, and of course Sainz didn't win the race, so no points for Team Apex. On the podium, I put Norris and Russell, so I got 1 point with Norris. And we didn't even touch on the Mercedes disaster class and strategy, but that's for another time. Ryan, you got a point for also putting Norris. Sainz, of course, didn't make the podium. And then Team Apex got 1 for saying Verstappen would be on the podium, and that's a very lucky escape, in my opinion, of that. And Ryan, you're the only one who got the fastest lap, obviously, with Verstappen. I went with Norris. Woo! And Tommy went with Hamilton. And then no points in the surprise for me or Ryan. I said Bottas top 9. Ryan, you said Norris on pole as a backup option. And then Tom, you went Perez doesn't score any points, which he did. Didn't. What's the correct way to say it? He didn't score any points. That's what I'm trying to say.
He didn't score points.
But he did put on a show for the fans and left a lot of people in confusion.
He also pinned Magnussen, sure, didn't he?
Yeah. And he also confused Leclerc at one point. I think Leclerc came behind him at one point and thought, I was maybe under the late safety car, and said that he thought that was Verstappen. He thought he was on for a podium. So I feel quite bad for Leclerc there.
Is that Verstappen?
Yeah, because to be fair, if you don't see Perez for 40 laps in the race, you expect them to have retired. Although that, I don't know if you've seen it, but the shot of the pit stop where Verstappen comes in and the cameraman spins around and you got Perez sitting in the car, people are saying it's as if it's like film for the US office. It's incredible. Great, great film in there. But right, let's go predictions. I'm on 30 points and Ryan and Team Apex on 38, so it's still fairly close at the top. I'm technically still in second.
And now we're just setting up. This one is it a sprint race?
Oh yes, it's Qatar.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, this is the first time we've remembered about a sprint race. Yeah. This is good going.
Go us, woo.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it sprint.
Yeah, well done, you, Ryan.
And then I'm just going to paste in the stuff again just to...
Yeah.
It's a sprint shootout winner. So, technically, I need to change that. Because pole position... Qualifying separate now. I'm trying to remember.
Yes, qualifying is, I think what we usually do is, do we not do,
I'm going to move that.
I'm trying to think what we usually do, because it's...
Well, I'm going to set sprint, it up properly for once.
Yeah. So we'll do the usual, qualifying is on Friday night. That is for Sunday's race.
So we'll just go top qualifier.
Yeah, so that would be the Friday qualifying session. And then sprint shootout winner. We'll forget about sprint quality because that's a pointless test session. And then we'll just do race winner, yeah.
No. So I'll just put in brackets here. Sunday with brackets, obviously.
Yes. Just as you can tell, we're very well organized tonight. Yeah. This is why we usually forget about the sprint qualifying predictions.
We need to do... So pole position still... There's still a separate quality. Oh, wait, no. Because that's from... Hold on.
Yeah. Forget about the other...
Is there a second qualifying or does the sprint shootout set it? I can't remember.
Sprint shootout is the qualifying session
so
for
it
the
sets
sprint.
Grid, so I can get rid of that. So there's still four grids. So we have.
So change sprint shootout winner to just sprint winner, and we'll forget about the qualifying session for the sprint because it's pointless.
Okay. This is going to be very messy, but let's see.
Yeah. Tom, you take it away. Who is going to top Friday's qualifying session starting on pole position for the Qatar Grand Prix?
Yes. I feel like there's been quite a build up to my answer, but we all know what it's going to be. I think Verstappen.
Sergio Perez.
Oh, yes. I feel like he's really found some pace in the last couple of races. Really, from the summer break, I think his form's been fantastic. But
taking part in races.
Let me give you the lowdown here just before you make any predictions. Just based off of the race result last year, I don't think there's been any adjustments to the track. Has there been? Because every track seems to have had some sort of adjustment this year. Abu Dhabi hasn't changed, has it? Not Abu Dhabi. Qatar hasn't changed?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, going off of the race result from last year, just in general, Max won. It was then Ferrari of Charles Leclerc. It was then Red Bull of Sergio Perez. It was then Ferrari again of Carlos Sainz. And then it was George Russell and the Mercedes. But obviously then you've got to think, oh, but the McLarens are better than normal Mercedes. So then does that mean the McLaren could be up there? And Ferrari start to edge back. So then your head starts getting thinking. And just to mix everything up even more, the two Red Bulls both qualified side by side, one and two. And then it was the two Ferraris and then it was the two Mercedes. So you've a good area of guessing to go off of here if you want to make a boldish prediction, but I think we all know what's going to happen here anyway.
The only changes to the Qatar circuit is a new pit building and a new paddock.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Not track oriented.
Not that I'm aware of. So, Tom, Verstappen it is then?
I don't really see... Well, let's be honest, I don't really see anyone else winning, do we? It's not like it's Singapore, it's not one of those like tight and twisty, awkward street circuits. I can't really remember the circuit. It feels like it's been forever since we've been there now. But that's probably not something I should say. I can kind of remember it. I feel like Singapore is, as I said, it's just a bit tight, twisty, and awkward. And I think this can be a bit tight, but there's some kind of faster flowing sections as well, so I feel like the car would be suited decently well.
Used to going for these like mad looking into stats and looking at the track. I'm just gonna say Verstappen, hope for the best. Ryan?
There's a lot of background noise going on at the minute, so I'm just trying to only speak
so
whenever I have to.
I'll put down Verstappen.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Sprint winner, so this is obviously gonna be the sprint race. On the Saturday, the one that could crown Verstappen champion, and you know what, I'm gonna be a bit bold in this one and think loosely follow Ryan's lines of he might throw it away, but I'm gonna go for an Oscar Piastri win. Tom, who are you putting down as your sprint winner?
I'm actually going to be honest, I was going to say the same. I was thinking about it, and I thought, could the McLaren be a quick round here, and could he technically win? Because obviously, as I mentioned earlier, he did very well in the Spa sprint race. So, and plus, as we also mentioned earlier, this is a bit of tinfoil hat time, but put yourself in Red Bull shoes. Is it really the best commercial way to win a title in a sprint race? Probably not, because there's just not going to be as many eyes on it. And people won't be expecting it on, like, casual fans or, like, people who just read news. They're not going to be expecting it. So Red Bull would want to win a title on Sunday. So it would make somewhat sense with the tinfoil hat on for Verstappen maybe to not as try as hard on the Saturday, so then he can win it on the Sunday. So I feel like, yeah, Piastri could be in with a chance to take a maiden win, but sadly in a sprint race.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be an interesting one. Although I can't see Verstappen probably throwing away and Perez to finish second. I can't see that happening. Ryan, if you can give us your sprint. Oh, actually, Tom, who was it you actually said there? Because I was in my head about Piastri. Yeah, I was that in my head about Verstappen. Ryan, are you joining us? Are you sticking with Verstappen?
Oh, me? Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, I wonder if we get Carlos Sainz, please.
Okay. Ryan, while you're there, pick the race winner for Sunday.
The race winner for Sunday is going to be none other than Max Verstappen himself. This is the Formula One.
I'm going for Norris. Why not? But different.
I was going to say is I hate that song. And is this a race winner?
Yes.
Max Verstappen.
Okay.
Perfect way to finish probably his world championship winning weekend.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to crash out. So I'm going to go podium. I've gone for Norris to win. So I'm going to go for Piastri and Hamilton. I'm going to be very bold because I'm out of this race anyway for the win, so I might as well be as bold as I can.
Still a couple of races left yet. You know, you can still gather up a few points. You could save Verstappen, you know.
Actually, are we sticking the rule as if Verstappen
he wins the title, that's it. He's gone.
That is true.
Predictions are up in the air, my friend.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know if you're actually on that podcast. I think it was Kira. We've made the rule that once Verstappen wins the title, we're not allowed to predict him to anything
else. I was there as well. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I feel like that's where I can claw back the points in final few races.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna...
Come on, you need to play hardball here. You're slagging.
So I'm sticking with Piastri and Hamilton.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not even gonna try.
I reckon Verstappen crash out.
Nah, can't see it, man. Cannot see it. The form he's been on, no way. For me, I'll go die anyway. Now that it's a wee bit quieter for myself. I'm still gonna put signs up there, because I think a Ferrari is due another podium. And do I think Norris bests Piastri? I think Piastri's just constantly growing, but so is Norris. You know what? I'll just do the same prediction as last week. I'll just go signs and Norris again.
Okay.
It's a safe bet at this point. If you pick one or the other, one of them's gonna get it.
Yeah. Tom?
Yes, well, this is podium, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, so my podium is, I'm going to go with a mix of orange and red. We're going to have Charles Leclerc and Lando Norris. Because, just because, really. I feel like Ferrari were quick last weekend, and then McLaren were the quicker team last weekend. Oh, wait, no, Ferrari were quick in Singapore, and then McLaren were quick in Japan, so, yeah, just yeah, just going off that, and now I've said that, it will be a Russell and Hamilton at second and third.
Okay. In the fastest lap, I'm going for my usual Lando Norris. Brian?
Just for the sake of doing it, I'm going to give it to... I'm going to give it to Oscar Piastri.
Okay.
Just to spice things up.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to... let's think about... I'm going to give it to...
Oh.
Probably... Sorry. It was probably Max Verstappen, I'd say.
Okay. Ryan, you know what time it is?
Yeah, boy!
It's time for Ryan's random number generator.
And I am ready to go.
Go for it.
Okay, once, twice, three times. Number 75 out of the bingo ball. So we get
Bottas. Number 77. That's from me again after that, same as last week.
Oh.
Bottas top 9. I'm going to keep that prediction until he does it.
Man needs to start proving his worth if he wants to stay for that Audi seat.
Exactly. Everyone's saying that apparently Russell should be signed for Mercedes and bring back Bottas.
Oh, to see the flying Finn fly once again would be nice, to be fair. He just sort of has disappeared out of the limelight. He grows a beard, sticks to his Finnish traditions, and nobody notices him anymore. Even when he does an interview, you're just like, who is that guy? Who is he?
It's like one of those, you know what those people, like, who have the, like, disguise costumes where they have, like, the glasses and the fake moustache on? It's like that. It's a different man. That's not Valtteri Bottas. That's just a different guy entirely because he has a moustache.
Yeah, that's Battery Voltas.
Yeah. Like, gosh, it's his secret Finnish brother.
Right, Ryan. Spin that.
He looks more redneck. It's his American brother. He looks more redneck than anything.
Forget the American Stig.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. It's just like the Stigs. He just has different cousins all over the world. They just swap out every race.
So is this one for me?
Yes.
Oh well, it landed on 60. So that's what, 63 George Russell. Okay. I haven't predicted George. No, I haven't.
No.
Well, I'm not going to say he crashes out again because that's too predictable.
Doesn't argue in team radio about tactics.
George Russell to out-qualify and finish 5 places higher than Hamilton, but also in his post-interview say that he loves the team. Is that enough to get away with that?
I think you may as well put in he reveals what his bank account number is and the short code and everything at this point.
And what's the 3 numbers in the back there, George?
Yeah. To be fair, I feel Russell's one of the people that he actually would say it.
Yeah, I can just imagine it. So he's going to out-qualify Hamilton because he's fed up of all the Hamilton stands pushing him over again. Hamilton will have a bad race and then all of a sudden he's just like, I love this team. They do everything for me. They make my lunch. They make me breakfast in the morning. They took me into bed at night. George. Okay, right. Okay, I forgot. It's my job, number time. Yes. And 50, closest would be Mick. Oh, well, never mind. 55, Carlos Sainz Jr. Oh, wait, no, you've already predicted Sainz, haven't you? No, you haven't, have you?
I did it. I predicted he'd stand next to a building in Singapore, I think.
No, I meant that.
Yeah. Not today, no.
Okay, oh, not so today,
he's
no.
Got Sainz. You've got Sainz.
Okay. So, I speaking of the building prediction, I want to go back to my wacky kind of like Instagram predictions. What will Sainz post on his Instagram?
Nothing and... of interest because they're all race related.
Yes, that is what I've noticed as I'm now scrolling through. So But he does look good in red, let's be honest, guys. So I've noticed he takes...
Sainz gets stabbed and doesn't... Tom's like, damn, he looks good with red.
I do notice on some occasions he likes to take a selfie with his team. So I'm going to go for the prediction that Sainz takes a selfie with a crowd of team members, like an absolute, like the basically the whole of the team.
This weekend he won't get on the podium, he won't qualify that high, and the team's gonna have an absolute shambles, so he'll just post a logging off for now, guys.
Yeah. I'm gonna risk it though. I'm gonna risk it for a biscuit.
Which type of biscuit?
Biscuit?
Chocolate. Yeah. Hobnob.
That's a good question.
Chocolate caramel hobnobs. Oh!
Oreo.
Oh, come on.
Not a bad choice.
Which type of Oreo? Are we talking birthday cake, like golden, peanut butter? Cake.
What is this?
I've never had the birthday cake Oreo.
The double ones. I like the double ones.
Man likes the extra milky ones.
No, that's, Tom, that's a disgrace of a choice.
Come on. Yeah. I'm going to throw this out here. In terms of Oreos, and this is very controversial, I don't like the standard Oreos. I love those golden ones. It just reminds me of like a custard cream on steroids. Oh, they're just nice.
I haven't really tried them, to be honest. I've seen them, but
Is it because they're yellow? They look like the Simpsons.
No. It's just, I don't know, I like to stick to the original, I suppose.
You're the type of man that likes his rich tea biscuits.
I don't know, I used to dip my Oreos in milk and it was great.
Yeah, so did everyone, because that's what the ad told you.
Come on, Tom! I forgot.
Next thing you'll be telling me, you put hot water in a pot noodle. right, Ryan, biscuit of choice.
As I said, the top tier biscuit for me so far of all time is the caramel, not like caramel flavored chocolate hobnobs.
Oh, okay.
They're just so elite, man. They're just so elite. If not, it's not a biscuit, but you can get like a wafer version of them as well. Tonics tea cakes.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say the caramel wafers are pretty good. Yeah,
and the wafers.
Honestly, I'm going to throw out a packet of bourbon biscuits.
Bourbon creams, I think they're called in England. Yeah. Mine, we used to stack them in the lockers at the school.
Yeah.
We had like 6 packets of bourbons just sitting in there.
Yeah, you done your bi-weekly run to Asda, gotten 34p a pack.
Someone figured out the pin code for the override and then all your biscuits were gone.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to hopefully be able to watch some of the race, be back in time, because I'm heading away for work this weekend, or this week, so hopefully, fingers crossed, all the travel plans go well, and I will be back.
Oh, come on! Dang it! I've been checking the score every 5 minutes, and within the last 10 minutes, which I haven't done it, we've scored 2 goals! Come on!
Your moment of excitement.
I mean, he has to celebrate these things, but it's exciting things don't happen to Man United fans often.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, man.
You said it, not me, Tom. Right. let's round out this podcast so Ryan, you can escape and watch the rest of that game, because it seems to be
going
well.
There'll
be
no more goals now when I'm watching it.
It always happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's round out this podcast. Brian, Tom, thanks for joining me. Movie reviews very quickly. Have you been watching anything in the past week?
Oh, what was it I watched on Netflix recently?
The Wrexham thing's good. Ryan Reynolds.
Welcome to Wrexham, yeah.
Yeah, very nice, wholesome documentary. And I just love how Ryan Gosling and Rob McElhenney are now just best friends.
Was it I watched recently? There was a film I watched recently, and I deliberately went on it because of a Facebook clip, but I can't remember exactly what it was, and I don't know how to find out. You know, you're watching. Where's Watch Again? Yeah. This is not fun. Netflix, why do you make
well,
things so
in all our footballing news at the time recording, Northern Ireland's women team are 1-0 up against Albania, so that's good
that's
news.
Good. That is also really good news, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and you can probably work out when we're recording this. Quite up to date.
Aside, all other asides, the only thing that caught my eye is this new Logan Lucky, which, you know, it's, as I'll just read out there, an ex-coal miner who's down on his luck hatches a plan to steal millions from a speedway during one of the biggest races of the year. So we've got I'd imagine, is it IndyCar or is it, I can't tell, I haven't even, I'm just going to quickly flick through it just to see what sort of cars we got here. But I would imagine it is, come on, tell me, please. Daytona cars, is it? I think. Oh, never mind. Doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's got quite a lot of big names. Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, Seth MacFarlane, Daniel Craig. So, Sebastian Stan. There's quite a big few names in there. So, I'd say probably watch that one because I'm going to watch that later. So, yeah.
Is that not Bumblebee's car from Transformers? Right, yeah, let's end this one here. Ryan, Tom, thanks for joining me. Thanks everyone for listening, and we hope you can join us in the next one in about 2 weeks. 2 weeks time, yeah, 2 weeks time for the Qatar Grand Prix. Goodbye.